9 LQC, quantization ambiguity and effective description.
Thank you, and hello everybody. My talk would be about the Bianchi 9 and its effective description. In classical Bianchi 9, we know that according to BKL conjecture, when we approach to the classical singularity, a special geometry is made of infinite paths, a small path, which they are the solution of the Bianchi 9 vacuum. One of the formulations to describe this behavior is the Hamiltonian formulation by Meissner. In this formulation, we can express the universe as a ball in a billiard. And then we can express the chaotic behavior of this universe. The chaotic behavior of this solution arises from this fact that the billiard volume is finite. This finiteness of the billiard is because of the divergence of the special curvature near the classical singularity. We know that in the Bianchi models are the special homogeneous models, and for Bianchi 9, the symmetry group is the rotation on a 3-sphere. And we can identify this group by SU2. The fiducial metric of this 3-sphere is a metric of the 3-sphere of radius A0, which is, and we, because we choose SU2 as our symmetry group, then this radius is equal to 2. L0 and we can define the L0 and theta as some constant that appears in our equation. In the classical Bianchi 9, if we work in the diagonal Bianchi 9 model, we can write the isochore variables like this one, like the and then the where P's are. And the P's in terms of the scale factors, we can write the P's in terms of the scale factors like the L0 square and times, for example, PI is the L0 square times AJ, A cos, and for the other one. The classical Hamiltonian can be write for Bianchi 9 as equation 1 in terms of the isochore variable. About the quantization of the model, the first approaches to quantize this model by loop quantum gravity context, first time developed by Bojoval, Deit, and Hossa. Pardon? The quantization of Bianchi 9 in Newbar scheme has been done by work of Wilson Ewing. In that work for simplicity, the lapse was chosen to be equal to the volume. However, here we take the lapse equal to 1, and because of this choice, we get the new operator Aka. This Aka is note that this Aka is not the isochore variable. They are not the isochore connection. They are some new other operators. Please.
This is Juan, you mentioned that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I
wonder when my people. I like very much Juan. I need that. I probably do.
Okay, sorry. I forgot. Okay, then go to page 7.
Yes, I'm a bunch of hospitals.
Pardon.
Something is going on with this.
I couldn't hear your voice. Is there any question or something?
Why don't you go ahead?
In page 7. You can see the definition of this operator, the operator's ACA.
Yeah, I'm saying it's a connection. What the hell is
so number 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is like only for some reason.
Yeah.
This operator comes from the term of.
I heard.
Pardon.
There is some group people discussing, and they're going live. So please try to keep quiet. Let the speaker continue.
Okay. Thank you. In page 7, the equation 2 gives us the definition for this operator's ACA. This operator comes from the term epsilon ij ei ej over the square root of the determinant of the matrix. And as you can see, these three operators have the same action on the elements of the Hilbert space. And then we can just show them by just one name, and then we call it A. This A is similar to the same operator with the same name in the previous work for the k equals to 0 and k equals to 1 by Ashtekar, Pavlovsky, Singh, and van der Waals. The eigenvalues for these operators are as a function of the volume can be given as the equation 3, which means that when the volume is less than the crystal volume, then these eigenvalues are some linear function of the volume. But if the volume is greater than the crystal volume, then it's 1. We should note that this crystal volume is not like a is not an exact transition point, and as we can see in the other in the next slide, in the equation some transitions happen, but near to this point, not exactly in this point. In the constraint also we have some negative powers of the p. And defining those operators, we choose the definition of in the equation 5. And this one is the same as the ones that Ashtekar and Wilson-Ewing used in their paper for Bianchi 2, and also the Wilson-Ewing used for the Bianchi 9. We destroyed the eigenvalues of the operator. The operator pi to minus 1 over 4 can be given as equation 6 as a function of the p's. And in the next equation, you can see the function of the function h, which is function of the volume, as in equation 7. Next page, in page 9, the effective Hamiltonian constraint, if we neglect the inverse Fourier effect, can be given as the equation 8. And we can all, in the next page, in page 10, we define some observables like shear, expansion, and matter density. And for example, from equation 10, you can see that the p dot 1 over p1 is not bounded, because then the second term in the right has something like p square root of p2 to p3 over p1 to 3 over 2, which means that if p2 or p3 are going to infinity, or if p1 goes to 0, then p dot 1 over p1 is going to infinity. Therefore, the expansion is not bounded. This the same happens for the shear and also for the density. You can see it in the equation 11 and equation 12. And in the page 11, you can see the some interesting features of this effective equation. You can see that if we, for example, in this picture, in this plot, if one starts from the Bianchi one limit of the Bianchi 9, and then evolving back to the time, the solutions evolve near to the Bianchi 1 limit until a bounce happens. And near the bounce, we have the Bianchi 2 solution. And after the bounce, we have the other solutions, which is not a trivial solution. These plots are for the x, for the evolutions of x, and for the evolution of the Kastner exponent. And the x can be give us some insight to find the limits of the solution. For example, if x, the three of the x are very small and near to zero, then we are in the Bianchi one solution. If one of them is large and two of them is small compared to the other one, and then we have in the Bianchi two solution. And if and for the other cases, we are in some non-trivial Bianchi 9 solution. So you can see in the picture that for the evolution of x from the right to to the middle, when the bounce happens, we have the Bianchi 1 solutions, then Bianchi 2 transition, and then we don't we have some non-trivial solutions for Bianchi 9. And for the constant exponents also, you can see that in the in the right side of the plot, the Kastner exponents are constant, but when the bounce occurs, after that, the Kastner exponents evolve and give us some non-trivial solutions. One should note that these effective equations, the effective equations in equation 8 is the same for if we choose the when we choose the last equal to 1 or when we choose the last equal to volume. In the quantum theory, we have different quantum theories, but in the effective ones, when we don't add the inverse correction, then the effective theories for both is the same. However, in the page 12, the effective equations 8, if we can compare it with the equation 1, And we can see that the connection, the curvature of the spin connection is exactly the same as the classical one, which is in the equation 2. Therefore, the behavior of the, and we know that the Meissner potential is depend on the curvature of the spin connection. So for this effective one, the Meissner potential will be just remains the same. Therefore, here we want to see if we add more corrections, which comes from the inverse period operator, then what happens to this potential? And if we can, the potential wall can suppress in some point or not. If we can show that the potential wall can suppress in some point, then we can say that as I told in the first slide, if we can suppress this potential wall, then the billiard volume is infinite, and then we don't have the chaotic behavior of the system. Okay. And here to find the here we choose the eigenvalues of the operator, the negative power of the operator, the Pi, and the operator A as correction to the effective Hamiltonian. And then the modified effective Hamiltonian can be given in, as we can see in the equation 30. As you can see, the term for the spin, the curvature of the spin connection is the term that it times would multiply to the theta square. It's different from the classical one. However, then, okay, the next slide, the slide 14. The classical potentials, we can write the classical potential as in, before the equations, before the equation 14, you can see it, and where the omega is the minus 1 over 3 of the logarithm of the volume, and the anisotropies beta plus and beta minus can be defined as as follows, which are dependent on the scale factors. So from the the modified effective Hamiltonian that was in the equation 13, we can find the effective potential, Meissner potential, which is in the equation 14. However, you can see that the form of this potential, the effective potential, is different from the classical one. But then next slide, please, slide 15. But for a simple case, for example, when the beta minus is 0 and beta plus goes to minus infinity, we can see that the classical potential is E to the dependency of the potential, the classical potential in beta plus is like 1 over 2 to E to the minus 4 beta plus. And to minus 4 omega, but in the effective ones is to e to the minus 52 omega. So, and minus 4 beta plus. So, in dependency of the beta plus is the same for both, in the dependency on the anisotropy, but for the omega is different, but however, we have the qualitatively the same problem here with this effective potential. Because here also we cannot suppress the potential wall, and the potent, and then we have a finite, the outfield yard will have the finite volume. So from here we cannot say that if we have the chaotic behavior or not. Slide 16. However, if we see the density, the plus or density, then we can see that when we add this the inverse Fourier correction, and if we plot the maximum allowed density in the space of P, then we have two distinct regions. Okay, the plot in the right side is in the we have the density, the maximum allowed density VS P1 and P2, and P3 is equal to P1. Then you can see that we have two distinct regions. One of them, the region A, is the region where the zero volume happens, and we have large anisotropies. And the region C is the region where the maximum allowed density is negative, and region B is the region where we have the large volume, and we don't have the large anisotropies here. And as you can see, in the region B, we have the maximum allowed density, the global maximum will happen in some point, which is in the isotropic limit of the BNT mass. However, in the region A, because of when the anisotropy goes large and large, then the maximum allowed density can go to infinity. In the left side, you see the zero surfaces for the maximum allowed density in the space of VSP1, P2, and P3. And you can see these two distinct regions here also. So if we choose that, if the weak energy condition holds here, which means that we cannot have the negative density, then we have two distinct regions, and which means that if we have some solution, for example, in region B, then these solutions cannot reach the region A. Or if we are in the region A, the solutions cannot reach to the region B. Therefore, and as you can see, since in the inverse Fourier corrections that we use, they are some functions of V minus the critical volume or V plus the critical volume, then it means that in the region A, the volume, the total volume is less than or near to the, or actually it's in order of the critical volume. And it cannot feel much larger than that. However, in the region B, the volume can be so large. Therefore, if we start from a large volume, we remain in the region B, which we have some maximum, global maximum for density, and we have some minimum for volume. Therefore, it seems that we have a cutoff here. So if we put this cutoff in the potential wall in the previous slide, then it seems that we don't have this chaotic behavior any longer, because now we have something like a cutoff and we can suppress this potential wall. And as you can see, the large anisotropy just occurs in this region A, which the volume is very small, and for the other region, the anisotropy is not so large. Here, this work also was done in this things also was shown in the work by Book and Singh, but they using the effective equations which extracted from the quantum theory with lab equals volume. And then they just add the inverse period correction. So therefore they didn't have the correction that comes from the operator A. But however they show that we have these two distinct regions. But in their work in the region A, when the volume goes to zero, the density goes to infinity. However, you can see that in our plot, when the volume goes to zero, density also goes to zero too. It's just this difference. Next slide. Okay, in the next slide, in the page 70, you can see the behavior of the maximum allowed expansion. That you can see, if you compare it with the previous plot, you can see that in the maximum of the expansion is happens in the near the region C. And in the other both regions, it seems that it's bounded. And since we want to work with the large volume, then the solutions will remain in the region B. Then you can see that in the region B, we have some bounds in the expansion. Which means that, we cannot reach the zero volume, and then the singularity also is resolved, and we don't have any infinite in any bad things happening in the region B. So. Slide 18, the last one. The summary of the work. Okay. As we can see, we have two types of the divergence in the Meissner potential or in the curvature of the spin connections in the effective theory. One of them is that when the P is going to infinity, or the second one is when the P goes to zero, because we have something in the dominator. When we add some inverse Fourier corrections, we just eliminate the effects in the dominator, but we have something in the numerator, and then this type of the divergence we cannot cure, and then the potential loss is cannot stop it. However, we saw that the maximum allowed density, which arises from the modified Hamiltonian, has two distinct regions, and one of the regions is for the region that the solutions can reach the large volume and but cannot have the large anisotropy. And the other region is for the very small volumes, the volumes near the Planck scale, and they cannot reach the large volume, but they can have a large anisotropy. And since we want to work with the large volume, so we are just in the region B, so we don't have any so it seems that we have some cutoff in the potential one. So it seems that therefore the billiard is now it has an infinite volume, then we don't have the chaotic behavior, at least in the region B. And the other ones is that in modified effective description, because of the corrections that come from the operator A, if volume goes to zero, all the, for example, expansion shear and density goes to zero too. However, and this operator appears in our theory because we just choose lapse to be equal to one. And if we don't use this operate this correction from the operator A, then for example, as I told before, the density near the density goes to infinity when we reach the zero volume. However, it's just the difference between these two quantum theories that we can see in the effective level. Thank you.
Questions?
Alex Parici. So I have a question. How does this, do you have any comments on the recent work by Singh and Edward Wilson, which were also considering the same Bianchi 9 model?
In the new work by Singh and Wilson Ewing, they use another type of the quantization for Bianchi 9. Which they call it the K quantization, and in that case they polymerize the explicit curvature the explicit curvature than not the Ashtapar, not the connection. So because of that choice. Then the Bianchi, for example, the Bianchi 9 now is more similar to the because of this choice. Then some of some of those things are bounded, but however they use the different. Quantization, so the different quantization method, and then they get the different effective theories actually.
Other questions? Okay, let's thank the speaker again.